Greetings and welcome to the Beyond Earth Show. This is your host, Rachel Keo, and this is today's transmission of the date, December 28th, the year 2024. And I hope that all of you have had a beautiful and merry, merriest, happiest Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, everything above, and happy holidays to everyone. And if you don't celebrate, then that's fine also. It's a new year. And for today's transmission, I thought it would be very imperative to impress upon everyone about the reflection of our years past and even our most recent year, this 2024 year, and what we'd like to take from that and alchemize and transform for the greater betterment of ourselves, our higher selves, let's say even our predispositions to some fears at times or proclivities towards negative habits or certain patterns in which we'd like to really address, right? And it's such the one could say it seems so commonplace and even so blasé, generic, that let's make New Year's resolutions so we can break them, right? And what happens in the mind is that when we set ourselves up for a resolution, right, let's take away New Year's resolution and let's just focus on a resolve, a resolution, a goal. Suddenly the mind and the heart and the spirit, there's the conflict already arises. There's the pressure, especially those of you that have a predisposition to perfectionism. And that also can be in construct with procrastination. Because, oh, if I procrastinate, is it, why am I procrastinating? Is it because you're lazy, or is it because you're so afraid of failing, or because you're such a perfectionist that you're so worried that it won't turn out perfectly, so you don't start it at all, or you don't finish it because it's not good enough, or you freeze and you go in freeze mode, right? And then some of you could be in that eager mode where you're in a rush to do everything and you have to get it done, and you feel like the bunny in Alice in Wonderland, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late, right? So you have variables here to contend with, and some people might not have that problem. They are task effective and they are goal efficient and they problem solve and they stick to it, but they might have something else that they need to fix in their life, where perhaps they're so focused on their goal setting, perhaps with goal setting with their fitness or their career or taking care of their kids or their animals or their finances, that they might be overlooking and spending a great deal of energy in one compartment, where that compartment, let's say, is near perfect, right? Where everything's finished. But then where are they having a, let's say, a quotient? Where's the void? Where is there a deficit? So the key is balance, right? And the yin and the yang, where as above and so below, as within, so without. So there's always a balance to everything in life. And yeah, sometimes we have to go things full throttle and get it done. Sometimes we have to be aggressive. Sometimes we have to be really like, wow, I just got news that I really need to take care of myself. So I'm going to start taking care of myself and quit all of the negative toxic foods that's contributing to parasitic, let's say, invasions in the body, or also in extracurricular alternative types of ingestions that people might partake in through various means. And so there's a time and a place where even that has to be in moderation, because there's always a propensity for that wired mind to go back to that default, especially too with what they put in the foods and also in the chemicals and also in the agents that are in a lot of things that people partake in. where it's addictive, highly addictive, right? You just look at the alcohol, tobacco industry, and look at the food industry, and then look at the all the other industries and all the other underground industries. So you get what I'm saying. So not only do you have to combat and implement your own discipline, but you also have to consider the external components that are by purpose, by design. And so not only do you have to be disciplined, but you also have to find the discipline to detox from an engineered way of that is out of our control, except if we don't partake in certain things or we look at what we're ingesting or drinking or what we're consuming or the medicine that we're taking in. So different things for different people. So just covering the basis there. However, in this particular new year, there is an emphasis though on what can you do to raise your vibration, right? And it's a new awakening, the golden age is upon us, and everyone speaks about rising up and raising vibration, and that is commonplace. If you look back, Jesus would rise the vibration constantly. You see the saints, you see the types of people who have been strong advocates in this world to help people and animals. And they had a conviction and they had a resolve within them and they had a high vibration. So when I speak of raising your vibration, there is an alchemical response, a biochemical response. When your intention is love, then yes, there are people that you set the intention to love. And you don't always meet love, but when you meet the absence of love, it amplifies your proclivity towards pronouncing the love that you have within yourself. And this is love for the world, love for energy, love and appreciation, gratitude for the creature kingdom, for humankind, for society. And those of you that see the worst of society, you also know what the best of society entails as well, that for every wrong, horrible, heinous crime, there's also so much greatness out there in the world. And so when you raise your vibration, and if you let your vibration stay at like a medium pace, and you can achieve that through prayer, meditation, and also conscious reconditioning. And sometimes there are things that just tilt us, where the universe throws a gauntlet in, a karmic occurrence where we have a circumstance to confront. And do we grow from that or do we give in to that? And yeah, we're allowed to have moments where it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to have anxiety. It's okay to be hard on ourselves for a moment. But the key is like to learn and seek the proper help from trusted people, people who are experts and whatever people, when I say experts, some people might say, oh yeah, so-called experts. But what I mean by that is someone that is besides yourself that can help you accountable. If that's something you need to do in the new year, then so be it. And then if you can't find someone you trust that's external of yourself, other than yourself, then the mind is the most magnificent, like a computer program, but also the circuitry in the mind. Because if you just apply the power of prayer and the power of implementing conscious reconditioning, 21 days to reset the mind minimum, where a negative thought, if you had endured a great deal of trauma or you had heard negative feedback in your life for various things, or the inner dialogue of subconscious, self-defeating, negative fear-based mind, the separative ego is discussing within your mind and your heart and your spirit. Well, this is the time that you can slowly but surely and lovingly and compassionately address that, yes, I can. That's okay. Like today, I'm trying to start. I'm trying. And a lot of people don't like the word try, but I'm using the word try because sometimes you just have to try. And then fake it till you make it sometimes, and then see how that feels. And then eventually, you're not just trying, you're actually doing it. You're actually implementing it piece by piece. So, When you see yourself and you're going into a lower vibrational frequency, it's almost as if a domino effect of negativity starts to just compound and it's raining and pouring, the tsunami, everything's happening all at the same time concurrently. And that gauntlet that's thrown down is so challenging because sometimes you just want to be left alone, sometimes you just want to be you. And when we have to look within and find our tasks, right? And sometimes there's a task for us to do for our own responsibility. And also there's a task for a greater responsibility to others as well. So taking care of ourselves and taking care of others at the same time, that's a lot to do. But it's possible. There's many people who have accomplished that. And the key here that I'm addressing is that when you can take care of yourself, meaning self-love, self-respect, and it's a daily work until the day we leave the planet, you get stronger and stronger. But the more that you build up that inner resolve, and there's no pressure, it doesn't mean to be on January 1st, 2025, I hereby declare that I am going to be disciplined. Well, how many people have tried that? And I'm not being dismissive, but I'm just being realistic because there's a pressure that just starts to build. And then what happens on January 10th? I broke my resolve. And then you start to feel, or one can start to feel, this tendency to go into this self sabotage or in this really self-defecating construct that does not help. So what you want to do is be loving and transcend from the place of fear within the self, fear of your own self, and fear of the pressures, the responsibilities, and work on that self-love. Because when you spend a lot of time on the pressures of this world, and I get it, there's deadlines all the time, and that's a different thing. But when it's a deadline you give yourself, like, oh, I'm going to give myself 4 months to finish this book. Okay, that's fine. Give yourself a deadline, give yourself a timeline. But check in with yourself and see how much you've accomplished in the next 4 months. See how much you've accomplished from now until middle of, the spring, and check in and then see what was the distraction. What And if you'd finished it, bravo, brava. But if you didn't finish it, look back and say, okay, here I need to work on this. I need to work on maybe limiting myself on how much accessibility I am available to people, friends, family that need to just call me to chit chat about the sun, moon, and stars, even though it's really nice to hear about the sun, moon, and stars all the time. But I have a goal and personal boundaries. Work boundaries, personal goal setting boundaries, even if you want to finish a coloring book just because you want to finish a coloring book, that's a personal goal. That's important. Any goal that's important to you is important for that reason, because you accomplish one goal, that means that your mind starts to be set into this concrete observation that factually proof, evidence to the mind that, wow, we accomplished a coloring book. We finished one page. Wow. It took 5 years before to even get to sit down to even start to draw, right? Or start to fill in the blanks. And he used that as a simple example because you'd be surprised with sometimes the most simple things for such top, highly effective people. It's so hard for them to get the little things done. Then sometimes it's really hard for a lot of people, even if you're top effective, to get the big things done and vice versa. Yet, this is why I focus on when we look at how much time we spend on unimportant things and things that really ultimately, at the end of the day, have no meaning. And 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 1 year from now, you're like, what? Okay, I don't even remember that conversation. I don't remember spending hours and hours trying to do this and that when I could have been actually working on something more meaningful or spending more time focusing on my family or my pets or my friends, that whatever it may be. And some of you may need to spend less time with certain people and more time with yourself, and some of you might have some distractions in that regard as well. However the case may be, though, look at what is very important and fulfilling to you, because no one else is living your life, and no one else knows about your life more than you do. And many people can have their judgments and what they can seemingly ascertain, and most of the time, it's not constructive criticism. Most of the time, it's a judgment. Most of the time, it's a place within themselves that they're projecting. And it's also almost, if you could say, their own fear, like a void within themselves. And oftentimes there's the addictive mental patterns of, let's say, fear and separation. And sometimes you just want to be in that enlightened state of perception and just operate from that place of unity, of love, and transcend the fear. And oftentimes, there are other people who may judge you for, let's say, sometimes there are reasons in which, yeah, you're doing bad things, you're not taking care of yourself, and you do need to hear something, but it needs to come from a constructive place of care, concern, and reason. Yet I'm speaking about different things. I'm speaking about your belief systems, whatever it might be politically, whatever it might be in any way, that anyone's opinion, if you have a certain relationship that's your preferred way of having a relationship, not everyone has their family the same way. Some people have family members that live and are deployed in the military, and they don't come home for years, they don't come home for months. They miss holidays, they miss Christmas, they miss their children's birthdays, or they can't even begin to start the family yet because they've been so busy protecting our country. So there's a lot of people who might judge people who, oh, well, your husband or your wife, she's gone overseas. And well, it's just not, I hear this often, so I'm just using that example. Like, people oftentimes don't understand unless they're really in it to truly ascertain for themselves. And sometimes that can also cause a lot of pain and resistance in oneself where they just can't be themselves. And then we go into personal boundaries. So when you go into the new year and you think about, well, what else in conjunction with my self-love and transcending my fear into love? Well, you want to maintain that enlightened perception, right? And you want to work on the habit of correcting, having an attitudinal adjustment to course correcting from the negative fear-based mind, especially the negative fear-based mind that people who love to throw their baseless accusations and baseless judgments upon you because you're not living your life according to their rules or what they think should be perfect. Especially when you're not harming yourself and so forth, you're not harming anyone, you're just living your life a certain way. Well, that amplifies, because when that amplifies and then it sets up additional pressure, and then you course correct thinking like, well, maybe I'll be accepted if I change my perception. But then whose perception are you trying to adhere to? So always work on your own perception of you. Like, if your family judges you for various things and you're not harming anyone, you're not doing anything wrong to anyone, you just might like to read books on gardening. And they think that you're crazy because you like to read books on gardening and you like to wear black all day, or you want to wear pinstripe suits every day, and if that's your thing, pinstripe suits, then no one should judge you. You're not doing bad things. It's just your expression, your freedom of speech, your freedom to believe what you believe, and freedom to research what you want to, or freedom to just be unapologetically you. So with the healthy boundaries, this comes in now. So those of you, how many of you have, you just don't want to ruffle feathers. You just don't want to cause any fight. You know that Aunt Mary and Uncle Henry, that they're just going to attack you the minute you come over for a holiday dinner or anything, any occasion, right? Or they're going to call you and say, "Why haven't you had 10 children yet? Why haven't you gotten rid of, whatever?" Like, and just judgment, judgment. And it's a place within a reason where the pressure comes up as well. So when you create your own personal resolutions, don't think about what Aunt Helen or Uncle Henry want you to do in that way. Yeah, if you're like, "Hey, I want to quit smoking, I want to quit alternative certain types of extracurricular drugs, I want to quit alcohol, I want to lose weight, I want to stop eating sugar, or I want to whatever." Okay, fine. You're telling everyone that, then okay, Uncle Henry, Aunt Helen, "Hey, so how are you doing with your goals you shared with us?" Right? Okay, we're not feeding you sugar. We're giving you fruit instead. We're giving you non-fructose syrup. Like, we're giving you healthy alternatives. That's different, right? If someone has a gambling addiction, they're going to say, "Hey, how are you doing with your money situation and your gambling?" That's different. But when they're in the place of just addressing you innocently, you can just express to yourself that just because Uncle Henry and Aunt Helen want this life for me that I don't want, it doesn't mean that I have to concede to their will. I'm not going to submit to their will. I'm going to submit to my own interpretation for my highest good, where no harm is done to anyone, and I will live my best, greatest life. And if they ask you, and I know everyone's different, but if they say, "Well, how come?" and say, "Well, it's my personal choice that I would like to go to, let's say go to a destination or to have a certain life or to write a book or whatever it is that you want that other people might scoff at. You're not harming anyone. You're not harming yourself. But you're in the fear, though, of disappointing others. You're in the fear of looking as if you are not as revered in the eyes and the minds of others, or that you're disrespected. And some of you have no problem at all asserting your truth. Some of you have where people listen to you and you give great advice about asserting your truth and establishing healthy boundaries. But it's a good reminder, though, sometimes to just know that when you're doing a New Year's, any resolution, doesn't have to be New Year's, but any resolution, that you're doing it because it's something that you want to do for you. Because if you do it for Uncle Henry and Aunt Helen or anyone else, the chances of it backfiring is greater in the ratio, and the likelihood is far less of you achieving that, because it's not in the service of achieving that miracle for you. So now about the healthy boundaries that I was addressing. Another thing is, think about a miracle or miracles that you'd like to bring into the new year for yourself. And many people say, "Well, miracles are intended only for saints and angels, or children that are dying right now, and children that are in war, or people that are in war-torn regions of the world that is presently ongoing right now. So how dare I ask for a miracle?" Well, there's an abundance of miracles in this world. This whole world is a miracle. The fact that you're here today is a miracle. Your life is meaningful. Your soul's existence is meaningful. Everyone around you is a miracle. And even when we don't often have the awareness within us because we're in the autopilot, right? This world is a busy world. We have distractions left and right. But when we are faced with all these issues, and then we're also in the ever avoidance of facing the other issues that are within us, sometimes we are compelled at times to really hit a certain bottom level and really observe an essential truth within us that, wow, what is so meaningful for us? What is it that I'd love to acquire more than anything in this world? What would I love to call in and pray for, to manifest, to affirm, to invoke? What would I love to ask God for? And it can be as simple as something that's been, you feel selfish asking because it's so small that you just don't know if you have the right, or it's something so gargantuan and you don't know if you have the right. To each their own. So sometimes when you move through that darkness, and there's always a personal level of darkness and degrees of difficulty within our soul and within our mind. Well, sometimes you have to just let yourself take a quantum leap, because if you don't allow that quantum leap, let's say, to externalize and just partake in that, you want to seize that opportunity. Because when there's such a conflict and there's such that fear compounded from the conflict, you want to transcend and really face that fear like a lion head on. And sometimes you can do it from your mind. Sometimes you can do it with silence. Sometimes you can do it with quiet reflection. And you want to take that leap forward for yourself, for no one else but yourself, because self-actualization is your own greatest potential. And when you embark on having that confrontation and you transcend from the conflict and the fear, that combination, and you really ascend into this higher state of being, that's when you can really call in your miracles. And if it's like, wow, I want to finish school, or I want to go back to school, and my goodness, I signed up again and I can make it work, and that's a miracle, right? And if you went 30 days without drinking, or even 2 weeks without drinking, if that's the thing, and that's a miracle still, 2 weeks. And I know people in AA, that's a different thing. I'm not trying to contradict anything people might have in AA, but just giving examples that when you know that you can accomplish something, make one thing happen, right? Then you know that you have a greater constitution within yourself to maximize that. If you can go 2 weeks, guess what? That means that you can go longer. If you can go longer, you can continue to go longer. And I would say that if you write a page each day for your book, guess what? You could write a page every day for the next 365 days thereafter, however long your book is, right? Whatever it is, if you can do one thing, you can do a sequential aspect, you can perform another task. And we have a tendency to overthink when we ask for miracles. We have a natural tendency to overthink when it comes to many things, and we could go into the place of this world is filled with so much chaos and scarcity, and how dare I ask for one thing when there are so many that have nothing. And that is understandable, yes, but then you have to recognize that there are times that you deserve to receive miracles. Just because someone else is not receiving their miracle or their blessing at that particular time, it doesn't mean that they will never receive a miracle. Remember that everyone receives their miracles, their prayers answered, their blessings throughout the timeline of their individual respective lives. So you never know. Maybe that person who's suffering today And you feel guilty for asking for one thing that you really do deserve, that you really would like, and they have nothing, and you feel guilty. Send them love, pray for them, may God prosper you and everything and everyone around you. But know that they also have something coming for them in an abundant way at some point in time, just not today. And that's okay, because there's been often times where in our own lives where we didn't receive it in that specific day, that particular day, but God always has a greater plan for all of us. God knows all. And in that way, when we instill our faith, so here's the aspect of the miracle where when you are asking for that miracle in the new year or any time, you also have unwavering faith in God, in the angels above, in the universe, God, Goddess, universe, however you want to look at that. I look at God is where I look at, but in the practice of self-love, the practice of faith within the self, in that dialogue with mind's eye, with God's mind, in the mind of God. If your goal is that you want to revisit Jesus again for the first time in a long time, or even if you think you fell off your prayer in the last 30 years, last 3 months, let's say, right? Well, it's okay. You can revisit God. He will accept you with open arms. If you haven't spoken to your spirit guides, your angelic beings, or whoever that you are addressing, just do it now. Just say hello. Just reach out and say, hi. It's been a while. Pardon my remiss. Pardon me, right? And that's okay, because when we are free of the physical, we are in the most etheric state. We are free of judgment. We operate from a place of etheric love, and also where we can feel and see to the highest of our awareness and being. And so when you feel that way, there's no judgment like on the human condition here on planet Earth in this third dimension. There's a lot of judgment around us, right? There are many of us who really work on, wow, like, I want to be a compassionate, empathic, altruistic human, right? And sometimes it is hard, right? And sometimes it can be easy for some and really hard for others. But some people have had a really hard time before, but now it's almost seemingly effortless. So when you know that you're essentially crossing a bridge in your perspective in the new year, there's that inner faith and that resolve with that miracle, with that self-love, with that healthy boundary, with the goal setting, and with really looking at the goal setting for what is respective to you, what no one else is coercing you, or you're not submitting to the will of other. You're submitting to your own will, to your divine free will that God blessed you with, that the universe has bestowed. And so knowing that, isn't that so majestic? Isn't that so liberating to know that, wow, like I can actually accomplish something and I will accomplish something. And then when I do that, then I can go to a bigger task because it's muscle memory, conscious reconditioning. The mind is being proven that, wow, I actually did one page. That means I can do two, right? So the pressure is always going to be there in one form or another. But the key is that to address the pressure with a certain acknowledgement where it's not fully dismissed, but it's acknowledged. And it's almost like Murphy's Law sometimes, like what comes up must come down. It's like the more you resist, the more it persists, right? So it's like, I dismiss this, right? Then, but if you say, okay, I see you, I'm facing you in the mirror, I see you and I acknowledge you, and I've got this, it's okay. Say what you will. But that's how you transcend. That's how you begin to really catapult your inner strength.
And your mental strength, your emotional strength, your intellectual strength, your spiritual strength, and your physical strength. So, with your body, let's say that you're going through physical therapy. Let's say that you couldn't walk because you had an injury. Let's say that you had a grave illness for quite some time, and it's really hard to even pick up a bottle of water, but you're in physical training. And then you see, like, wow, like, I can actually do this. Well, that's the muscle memory. And the mind and the circuitry, the mind is used to having this automatic attunement. And when that circuitry is cut off from whatever occurred, the incident, the injury, and so that there's a muscle memory that exists. And so when you think about that, you go into the gratitude of what you can do. Maximize that potential. Think about all the aspects that have a limitation. And if there's a limitation that you can't work on right now, look at what you can work on. Look at what you can control. And then face that. And then recognize that you're an agent of change in your own way. So when you see yourself as an agent of change, that you are that change, that you want to be in your own respective sphere, in your own realm. And then so be it. Allow it to be, because we are in a great collective processy at literally all the time. There's always this collective processing ongoing, occurring. And imagine if no one made changes. Imagine if everything was at a standstill. It would be this almost corrosive complacency to a degree, and there would never be a motivation to actualize further, self-actualization. There would never be a desire or motivation or a compelling feeling. It would be an illusion. It would be this completely waste of time illusion where it's not meant to stay still sometimes. Sometimes, yeah, nature, if you're a baby in utero, sometimes there's moments where things are to stay still. So something that is being birthed can make movement and alive and well. And if you see how plants and trees grow, sometimes there's a stillness there. But if you look on a microcosm scale, just like a baby in utero or a kitten's in utero or little sharks and animals and their mermaid pouches and all that. I mean, I'm just saying, there is, if you look at a bird's egg, right, the nest and the way that nature has its revolution, right, and cycles. There are times when things are to stay still for the moment, yet there's still movement in the energetic frequency. And so, if we don't take some action, then we will stay blocked. And then there will be a complete, almost like a takeover, where we're hijacked, basically. And then we're not capable of being ourselves, what we are meant to be in this collectiveness under this period of beauty. And yes, there's conflict all the time, no matter what era we're living in. Every single era would always say, it feels like it's Armageddon. It feels like it's the end. It feels like, and so, and then we live to tell about it again, right? So if you feel like it's the end at times for you, like, wow, I'm hopeless. I can't seem to move on from this transgression or this injury or whatever happened to me, or this is just hopeless for me. It's not the end for you. It might feel like the end, but there's a big difference between feeling like it's the end versus actually essentially being the end in that regard. Not meaning the end in death, that's a different topic, but the end in that life force of when you qualify yourself to be able to accomplish something. So in essence, though, the miracle that you can call in for yourself is the gift of change, the gift of just being more loving to yourself. And you can apply that, the gift of changing from, let's say, the self-hatred, the self-defecating inner dialogue, the negative fear-based mind, where the negative ego speaks and says, no, you can't, oh, you're horrible, and allow the Christ consciousness or the Buddha consciousness or your highest consciousness, however you see it, allow that to come in and enter your field. And allow that voice that speaks the highest truth to you, let that be. And if there are severe goals, and we're talking on severe cases, you know, that's definitely something that, you know, you may need accountability with. And I'm talking on, you know, medical, or if it's health related, if it's, you know, substance related, if it's financially related and it's very intense, you know, those are different goals altogether. And those, I would recommend that you seek professional, licensed, and trustworthy and quote unquote expert help, because those are severe. I'm addressing in my own way here on this show that for those that are not causing financial injury to themselves, or those that are not causing toxic injury to themselves, and those that are not enduring life altering in the medical way injury to themselves, because there's so much in this life that one thing emanates into another, and then one root cause compounds into additional causes, and then a sub cause, and then, you know, you have linear aspects of causation, right, to confront. And so oftentimes one thing that could have really been rectified that was never resolved begins into almost like a sequence of events that become out of control. And so when you look into how you're playing a part in your own transformation, you don't want to block the power of love and self-love. So I wanted to speak of this as well as we go into the new year. When I speak of self-love, and I've spoken of self-love quite extensively on the Beyond Earth show, yet this is a very imperative time to bring up the emphasis of self-love with the new year, in conjunction with the goal setting and the discipline and being in the healthy boundary aspect and invoking the miracles and transcending the negative fear-based separative ego and the opinions of others, right, that don't have merit in your life. So when you go into the place of self-love, love, and you transcend the fear, we're back at that. There's the emphasis of self-love in a very different way. Love is a supernatural power. Love is really what does heal the world. And if you go about this world, again, back to the energy vibration, if you operate from the energy vibration of love, yes, that can overpower and overcome so many aspects of darkness and conflict. But when you turn that love back into yourself and you recognize that love is an alchemical occurrence, love is a vibration. When you see perspectives, and there are people who walk across the planet, and I'm not talking in the full capacity of like Casanova love, Romeo and Juliet love, like I'm speaking in the love of kindness, the love of altruism, love of compassion, the love of empathy. And that's wonderful if it gets into not the tragic aspect of, you know, Montague Capulet, but like in the relative construct of that, when there's love that drives the intention, love without expecting anything back, but just to see others prosper, This is what I wanted to make sure I emphasized on. When we succumb to, let's say, cynicism, right? And we can go back into that fear, that hopelessness mode I was discussing, and you go into this despair. You have to really remember who you are. You have to really remember, like, you are you. You are unapologetically you. You deserve self-love. And you deserve to just tell yourself, you know what? I love myself. And I've said this before on the show. I love myself. And look in the mirror. And if it's hard to look in the mirror, many people, it's hard to look in the mirror and say, I love myself. Try it 3 times. And if you can do it, keep doing it. And if you can't do it and you want to cry, or it's just like, wow, this feels stupid, this feels silly, this feels so inconsequential, this feels a waste of my time, just say it to yourself. The more that you feel that it's silly, the more that you feel it's inconsequential, that means that there's a resistance. That means that you need to do it even more than the person who is actually like, okay, I'll run to the mirror right now and just say, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself, and mean it. So, if there's a resistance, look within and just think about it. Contemplate, why am I so resistant? It sounds so generic. It sounds so silly. Yeah, of course I love myself. But like, do you really take the time to address yourself? Do you really take the time to acknowledge yourself? I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. I love me. God loves me, right? I am worthy of attracting amazing things in my life. I'm worthy of attracting what I would like for the new year. I'm worthy of receiving my miracles in the new year. I'm worthy of receiving my prayers answered in the new year, 2025 and beyond, right? God does love me, right? And so when you just, even if you can't go to the mirror and say it, even if it's hard and you're just in your car right now, and yes, focus on driving, but even if you're just in this place of, oh my goodness, it's so hard to say, I love myself. Why? Wow. Well, it's because it's time to befriend yourself again in the new year. It's time to reacquaint with who you are, to remember who you are. And that's another key statement. Remember who you are. No one else is going to live this life for you. You are living your life for you. And yes, of course, you might take care of people and so forth. And you're living and you're helping them, but you're essentially living your life for you. So who you really are transcends all of the other, let's say, when we can also make mountains out of anthills, right? Sometimes, though, who we really are, remembering who we really are, is more powerful and it's bigger than all of the other problems. And so oftentimes we will make an anthill into a mountain, but sometimes the true mountain in our life, we don't address because it's too scary. And so when you look at the individual aspect of your manifestation, your personal and collective, and you have the application of remembrance, the soul's remembrance, who you really are, what you came in with, what you leave with, what you leave behind. Do you leave this world a better place? Do you leave this world in your own way better than when you entered this world, right? And so sometimes we have the forgetfulness about how lovely you were. Sometimes you may forget just how kind you were, because there's always this emphasis on, oh, I was not so nice to Uncle Henry and Aunt Helen when they told me that I'm a fool for trying to build a garden, right? Just example, okay? Fictitiously, there's no Uncle Henry or Aunt Helen in my world, but that's a fictitious example, right? So in that way, We focus on the negative often. We focus on our own transgressions. We focus on our mistakes. And sometimes we have to. Sometimes we have to learn from those mistakes. But how often do we go back in our timeline to say, wow, I did feed the homeless people so many times. I fed homeless dogs and cats and I took them in, or I did a lot of things and I didn't even remember it. I didn't even expect anything for it. Bingo. Look at that beauty. Look at how kind you were to a friend when they were in need, right? Look how kind you were to elderly people or injured people or disabled individuals, or when you volunteered, or when you were just kind to a stranger and you just smiled at someone who needed that smile because they were considering doing something permanent. And your smile changed everything. And now they're still alive today because a stranger smiled. You never know. You just never know. And so, in the reality of the world that we live in the reality of your own inner world that you live in this year, 2024, reflecting on the years past, reflecting on, are you hard on yourself? Are you kind to yourself? Do you want to make this perfect resolution and stick to it? And yeah, I respect that. Go for it. But do it with a certain implementation of inner grace for yourself, with self-love, with understanding, because you will have a higher probability of maintaining that when you apply that from a loving place for you. And whatever the goal may be in this world, whatever the goal may be for this day, whatever this goal may be for this week, this month, this year, 2025, or beyond, that's important to you. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise, because you are a miracle. And you're also learning about yourself in the new year, too, that you are an agent of change, and you're an agent of change in your own world, and also an agent of change in the world and the collective around you. And so, while we just have a couple minutes left in this show for today, think about what you'd like to write down as a prayer to God, a prayer to a deceased, beloved, dear friend, or family member, or you can, even if it's a cat or dog or bird or turtle that's transcended to the other plane, if you want to write them a love letter, it's a beautiful practice to do. If you want to write a letter to your dearly departed best friend who's in heaven, go for it. If you want to write a letter to God, go for it. If you want to write a letter to your future self that you can read on, let's say, even December 28th, year 2025. Or January 1st, 2026, right? Then do it for fun. And it's your own time capsule. And you preserve that. And you express what you feel. You express what you thought of, your contemplations, your growths, your reflections of negative and positive, and how you transcended it, or whatever it is that works for you. And you just want to implore divine order. So affirm to yourself that your divine order, that you welcome the steadfastness of God, you are in the divine order that anchors you, right? And that everything that you would wish to bring into your world, everything has a natural rhythm in this natural world, the orderliness of manifestation, abundance of a divine idea, and how, in essence, that divine law, the divine idea of order, it sustains life. Thereby, it sustains your life and the life of everyone around you. And those that have departed us, they're still with us, and we can communicate with all of them. So I just wanted to say one more final thing about when all works together for you, when you work together for this world. Miracles are bound to happen for you, and allow that to exist. Give life to the miracles in the new year. And I will most likely touch base on this more in the next transmission in the next 2 weeks. So to be continued with that. So I thank you all for your time and your presence and subscribing to my show. And it's always such a pleasure. And this is your host, Ray Trujillo of the Beyond Earth Show. And I wish all of you a most beautiful, magical, happy, happy new year, 2025. And I'll see you again next time. Thank you. Bye.